Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great day to be practicing awareness.
Always good, isn't it? It's always the best. Let's face it.
Yes. And I have
enough. All right.
Join us this Sunday, May 24th, for a relaxing, nourishing time at our first in a series, Zen Cooks Workshop. The workshop on the art of vegetarian cooking will offer support for the step-by-step preparation of a simple meal. And for this and other practice opportunities, please visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, please press star 6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And I'll encourage folks to do that. And encouragement to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. All right. I think we're ready, Sherry.
All right. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
What's up, Sherry? My name is Robbie from Williamstown, Massachusetts.
Hey there. Did you say Robbie with B's?
Robbie with R-O-B-B-Y.
All right. Hi, Robbie.
Yeah, so I'm a college student, and I've been working on my summer plans. I'm just sort of, there's sort of a lot going on, and I'm not sure what is best for me to do this summer, you know?
Uh-huh. So many good choices.
Too many good choices. Yeah, that's a good optimism. So right now my like leading choice is to volunteer at this organic farm in Hawaii, and
ooh,
it seems like it could be a really cool experience. But it also seems like maybe like I might want to be doing something else, or maybe I might want to be volunteering somewhere else in the country. So yeah, like I'm not really sure which direction to go.
Okay, so Robbie, what are your other options?
So my other options are to stay at home in Pittsburgh, which I kind of like, and I kind of don't really enjoy Pittsburgh that much. So since I have like the ability to like go wherever I want, I'd rather not stay in Pittsburgh. So that's another option. Or I could potentially stay in the Bay Area with a neighbor, or I could stay in Seattle with a relative.
Ooh, you could stay in Seattle and come and visit us on an organic farm in Squim.
That is intriguing, yeah.
Well, first of all, let me ask you, is this kind of process familiar to you, where you've got a lot of possibilities and kind of get pulled between them and I don't really know and that sort of, is that a familiar process?
That's a good question. Is that a familiar process? Well, I mean, there's definitely like, yeah, it kind of is now that you mention it, because like whatever decision I make, like it'll probably be a really great summer as long as I bring that energy towards it, then I think whatever I can do can be a really great experience. But there's definitely a lot of thoughts that like, or at least the voices are like trying to like influence me. Like if I volunteer at this farm, then I'm going to be like stuck in the middle of nowhere for 2 months. And, like, I'm not going to see anyone I know, and it's in, like, a really rural part of Hawaii. Or then the other option is, like, I can stay in Pittsburgh, and then, like, instead I could have gone to this really beautiful place that I've never been to before. So it's the voices are, like, they're trying to make it, like, a lose-lose situation, you know?
Yeah, always, right? And I think your point is the best one. If you're there with an attitude of, this is great, this is my life, this is what I'm experiencing right now, you're going to have a fabulous time. If you go with those voices, then it really doesn't matter where you are or what you do. they're gonna work really hard to make it miserable.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it. Do you think
yeah.
a fabulous time, do you think that could happen regardless of what someone is doing, like whatever environment they're
Absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100 and at least 10%. Yeah. The way we talk about it, Robbie, is the content, you know, the what of it is irrelevant. How we are, how we do things is everything.
So
I know that's
not
how we're conditioned, but well, that's not how we're conditioned to see things, but it is the truth. And the way we can know that is that we know our own experience of being in a perfectly wonderful place and having a miserable time, because we're miserable. And
that's
it's nothing
a good
about
point.
The place or the people. Yeah.
And I mean, I think there's some truth that like, if we're doing activities that we find enjoyment in, it'll be easier to bring that energy and, like, not listen to the voices, though. Do you agree?
Well, to a degree. I mean, there are kind of two ways to approach it. So, you know, if you're doing something, let's see, if you're doing something because you want to be doing it, so you're going to volunteer on an organic farm because
mm-hmm.
you want to be on an organic farm, right? Because it's an experience
yeah.
that you want to have. Then that's all that's really going to matter. If you're somewhere doing something you really, really don't want to do, you're not interested, you don't like it, it doesn't speak to you, it's going to be really hard to be happy. It's
yeah.
possible, but it's really challenging. So to go with something that gives you the best shot, you know, so if I were you, here's how I would do it. Honest to God,
okay.
This is how I would do it. So I would pick the whatever number of, I think I would really like to do that. Yeah, I would like to do that. I can see how I would enjoy that, and I could do that, and that would be possible, and all of that. I would write each one of those on a piece of paper. I'd put them in a paper bag. I'd shake that paper bag up, pull one out, and say, yep, that's me. Here I go. Because otherwise, what you've noticed is those voices in the head are trying to work you into a lose-lose situation. And that would take
point.
All of the, you should have made a different decision. Why did you do that? I mean, they'll still try to do that to you, obviously, because that's what they do. But you can know, this is how I wanted to do it. I didn't want to listen to the voices anymore. These are the three things or five things or whatever that were possible for me, and I couldn't make a decision, so this is how I made the decision.
That's so like it would literally just so I'd write down a bunch of possibilities that
yeah.
I'm interested in doing, and then just randomly
that's right.
pick one.
Ones that you know you would enjoy. Now, when you
uh-huh.
said that I'm on an organic farm in Hawaii, you know, I thought, oh, I want to do that, right? When you said
yeah.
out in the middle of nowhere, then it's like. Well, that's kind of not the idea we have of Hawaii, you know. So if you have time on the front end or the back end to really be in Hawaii and enjoy the beach and enjoy the everything that's there, or, you know, it's close enough that you come into periodically, and then that would be one thing. If you're really just going to be stuck out somewhere, then, you know, that might not be the one that speaks to you the most. So to look at it really carefully, the kind of the yeah, I'd like this, no, I'm really not interested in that. So you don't get talked into putting something on the list that is really a setup for you not enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was
ahead.
Just gonna say I guess I sort of said like a dysphemism for like out in the middle of nowhere could also be described as like very beautiful and like very scenic and like away from the tourists. So I don't know. It's sort of like whichever lens I look at it.
That's right. And that's really important. And the other thing, Robbie, that from what you said, you know, you can go anywhere you want to go and do anything you want to do for your summer. Well, here's a possibility. If you go somewhere and you find out that you really don't like it, you can leave and go somewhere else.
That is a good point, yeah, because they do mention, like, a two-month commitment to, like, this farm, but, like, you're right. Like, if I really hate it, then, like, they wouldn't want me on the farm either, like, if I don't enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, and to me, that's a really good life lesson, if you will. You know, I know people who spent their entire lives in places they didn't want to be because they were there. And because they were there and they had whatever going on and they have this and that, and there are all of these reasons to stay somewhere doing something that they don't want. It's not making them happy. And my argument is always, well, if it's not making you happy, do something that does make you happy. Now, if you find out that all you're doing is listening to voices who are making you unhappy with everything, then you got to face down the voices. But having an idea that because you've said, this is what I'm going to do, you have to do it forever, I just wish nobody would fall for that one.
Yeah, that must
be
a
pretty miserable
life. Yeah.
Yeah, and we only have one of them, right? So, this is it. This is our time to enjoy ourselves, and we don't want to be selfish and cavalier about it. You know, these people are counting on me, but I just ditch them. It's not like that. It's really looking at it and saying, you know, this isn't worth it to anybody. There might be a time when you'd say, I really hate this, and I'm going to stick it out because I said I would. That's always an option, too. So it's being there with yourself, you know, as clear-eyed as you can be, and then, above all, no regrets. No self-hating voices, no you made a mistake, no this shouldn't be happening, none of those.
Mm-hmm. So, like, can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, throughout our entire life, like once we've, like, at, like, 5 years old and, like, later once we've, like, developed consciousness, fortunately or unfortunately, like, we're always, like, going to have, like, voices in our head that are, like, always telling us thoughts and trying to distort our thinking and remove our happiness. That's like inevitable.
It's not terminal. It's not terminal. No, absolutely it is not. The reason that happens with so many people is that they don't do what's required to end that. It's really difficult. It's a difficult path to go up against, you know, what we call egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It takes a lot, and most people don't want to do it. Most people live their lives afraid of those voices.
That's pretty terrible.
Hmm?
That's pretty, well, maybe not terrible. It's definitely an interesting
terrible
life.
Well, it's sad. It's awful. And, of course, my life work is to tell people, to point out to people, that is a disembodied voice in your head. It has no power over you. It cannot control you. It can say mean things to you. It can threaten you. It can try to make you feel bad. But if you lose interest in it, it has no ability to affect you.
And is that the way to end suffering then, to lose interest, to practice awareness?
Yes, absolutely. I know of no other. I mean, there might be others, but I don't know of them. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting.
Good. Well, will you let me know what you decide and what happened?
I will let you know. I liked what you said about no self-hate. There's definitely, like, There is some, like, I mean, like, the voices are trying to make it like a duality situation, like I'd mentioned. Like, all the options I'd mentioned, like, could be great options for my summer.
That's right.
And yeah, that's definitely an interesting idea that I hadn't thought of before. Just writing all of them down and then randomly selecting one.
Yeah. And just see what happens. And that to me is the way to approach all of life. Not to try to figure it out, not to consult the voices, not to try to get it right, not to try to avoid a mistake, none of that. You just give it your best shot. Don't listen to any negative voices in your head telling you you've done anything wrong. That's it. Sounds
like
easy when we say it like that.
Yeah, it's definitely easier said than done, yeah. And to practice that like all the time and like being aware of like everything that goes in. It's better than like the alternative of like not realizing that like what's happening in your head is like, it's much better than that.
And yet we can see how difficult it is, because everything in the world is set up to distract us and to convince us that all of that negativity in our heads is true and valid and has some point and purpose. It doesn't.
Yeah, that's great. Like, if we have one life here, then why would we, like, bother with, like, any negativity?
That's exactly right. Why waste it? Why waste it on negativity? Why? Yeah, you can be happy. We can be happy. And it's not selfish. We can be happy. We can be loving. We can be kind. We can enjoy. We can be generous and grateful. All of those things. I'll
let you know. Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Robbie.
All righty. Thanks, Harry. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Robbie. Get this cue to work here. All right. That was fascinating, Sherry. Fun exploration of the nature of suffering.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah, well, and I mean, that's it, right? That conversation was kind of awareness practice in a nutshell. That's what it all comes down to. As we agreed, it's easier said than done, but it is doable. And since, as was pointed out, we have this one life, why would we not spend it attempting to be the kindest, most loving, caring, generous, happy human being we can possibly be?
Yes, and that's why we call it a practice. Because
that's right. We practice that.
Yeah. And I do my best, and sometimes I get caught in the voices, and then I get free, and then I get caught again, and then, just part of my practice, and it's fine.
But I would say, Michael, and I bet you would agree, caught less and less.
That's true.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have long patch of nothing going on in the head, and it's delightful.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Christina in Southern California.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. I've had a commitment on Tuesdays, and it's so good to be on this radio show. It's so fun.
See, while you're busy doing other things, we're over here having this good time.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. I've been missing out. So I've got this question, and I hope I can get this out in a way that makes sense. I have been practicing with interviewing. So I did this thing where I have this area of content that I suffer around, and mm-hmm. I did a process map, and I identified like two prominent, sub-personalities, let's call them, and mm-hmm. And then I interviewed one of them because I was really curious, and it's like the first layer, so I have a lot of questions about this because I've always resisted like the whole sub-personality part of practice, and I'm really new to the interviewing thing, and so, it's all very awkward. And mm-hmm. and so this like first layer of subpersonality was really just a voice, and it was self-hate really, or certainly egocentric. Like it wasn't anything, you know, I got really clear. I was like, okay, there's got to be somebody behind this, because it felt like, and I know feelings can be misleading, but it just kind of felt like there's something else here. And and then I got to that place, and now I'm wondering what my question is, because I think I kind of saw through it. And I got to this place where there was really someone who just wanted to be accepted and just wanted unconditional love and just wanted to hear it and wanted me to say it. Okay, so then there was this other personality that, and I guess this is where my question lies.
Well, Christina, can I stop you right there before we go on?
Yes, of course.
So,
please do.
Yeah, so when you got to that person or that personality, you could feel that it was real as compared to the first layer.
I mean, I would say so. I mean, how do I really know? I don't know. But I certainly...
Well, it felt that way, though.
Well, it felt like she wanted to be seen and to be loved. And so for me, that was a clue. Like, okay, I have a part of me that goes about around in the day who doesn't feel loved and needs to hear that she's loved, right? Like, that seemed pretty legitimate to me.
Yeah, and that, yes, thank you. That's what I was trying to go for, that it wasn't, her experience was not foreign to you. You could say, I know in my life when I feel that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually know I was, what I was wanting, because there was like layers over it of other stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the power of the interview, right? Where you,
exactly.
I mean, the way you did it, when you stayed with it, because you keep talking to this person. It's like being facilitated, right? That's what you were doing. You were facilitating that aspect of the personality to get deeper and deeper and deeper into her experience.
Exactly. And then I had a real practice win, because then I could make a recording to her. And so I was like, wow, I really do know what I'm doing here. You know, I feel
right.
like I'm
oh,
just
my
playing
gosh.
Around with this stuff, you know. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And and then I started listening to it, and I'm like, I want to hear that first thing in the morning. Like, that's a really
there
wonderful thing to hear. And this is all, you know, just in the past week or so. And so it's been really, really... I mean, it is life-changing again, you know? Like,
yes.
Like, oh, my goodness, I'm at a whole nother level.
Yes, precisely so. And I just want to underline it, and then I want to go back to the second person, okay? But I want to underline it, because what you're describing is what made us so excited about interviewing when we came up with it, okay? And that is... And you just went through it, but it's so hard for people to see this, the subtlety of it, okay? So if you were to interview me, okay, or you're going to facilitate me, all right? And so I would talk about, and you would reflect and draw out and clarify and all of those kinds of things. What you would not be able to do as my facilitator is to reach the various aspects of me the way only I can.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah.
Because there's all. That's right. And only I. So it's wonderful that you're facilitating me, but you're facilitating a particular personality. And usually you're facilitating the one that shows up most often. So you can listen to that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're on calls all the time with Sangha. And we know one another because we tend to be the ones who always show up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. so when you begin to facilitate an aspect of personality, of your personality, I, you know, the preposition, the pronouns, you know, get really iffy here. But mm-hmm. the aspects of Christina, right? Somebody is going to interview an aspect of her. That is going to go to a depth that there is, I don't know of another way of reaching. Yeah.
That was my experience.
Yeah, because you know, only you can ask the questions. Only you can see the nuances. Only you can feel the feelings. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, my experience of being in group and being facilitated is often very healing. And I am taken to different levels, but there's a very healing component of it where I don't know that I can, I mean, I'm not comparing. I guess I am comparing, but this did feel different from that because it felt a little bit deeper and because I knew exactly where to go. I don't know how else to say it.
That's right. There's a sensitivity that nobody else can access. And that's why we talk about we have one human being to save.
Yeah.
And it's our job to save that human being. And so what you did was move into that mentoring role, the unconditionally loving interviewer. Now, whether you knew that or not, I don't know. But that's what happened. And so you were able to go to a depth that, again, you know, I wish we could make this available to the world of psychotherapy. Because it truly is a completely different layer, completely different level. So anyway, now I would like to know about the second person you mentioned.
Well, I my question is this. So this is someone who is around a lot and she has a lot of really good qualities that she gets carried away, right? She gets like, so she has a lot of knowledge and she's got really good ideas. And then she just is, you know, we could just call her bossy or a know-it-all. And then she
worked out. Christina. No, I got it. I've got the label. Okay. She's not bossy. She's not bossy. She is aggressively helpful. I saw that on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have an aggressively helpful sub-personality, and like my instinct is to just push her away because she can be destructive.
Yeah.
She's not popular. But yet she can be very helpful. And so I guess I'm just wondering, like, how do you ride that place in between?
Well, yes. So that's the disidentify and embrace.
Mm.
Right? So you as the centered self, we often talk about this with aspects of the personality. It's like you have 45 children, okay, and they all have a single excellent trait. So it's not about deciding who stays and who goes. You want them all, you want them all, but you want them to be looking to you for guidance and direction, rather than simply acting out when they see an opening and can take it.
Wow.
So they are, right? They're all there. They're your giant support team. You have, I stopped at 45 because people can get overwhelmed, but you have everything that is needed for any situation in life.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had never seen that connection before. Right.
That's right.
And it's so helpful to see them as children as opposed to me. right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Because they're not skilled yet, right? They're not, they're qualities that have not been nurtured into the fullness of what they are and can bring. So it's like with that, she has really good ideas. She has a really good heart. She wants to help. She wants to be helpful. But what she hasn't learned is that other people have their own ways, and it's important to be skillful in where and how she offers what she offers. And because when she learns how to do that, she'll be really appreciated and valued rather than judged and shunned, which is what happens to her when she doesn't have the guidance and direction to be skillful.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's just kind of changed the perspective. The approach, how I approach.
Yes, there's one really important piece of this. So earlier when I said, you know, the same person usually shows up. We all have a dominant personality that, left to ourselves, we're going to just slide into that dominant personality. And that's who everybody thinks we are, sort of. Right. So people at work know one dominant Christina personality. Mm-hmm. Close friends know another. Relatives might know a slightly different. Your children know a different. Your husband knows a different. Right. Loosely under the Christina umbrella. But you can feel yourself moving in and out of these different ways of being under different circumstances. Right. And so what we're looking to do is to bring that, we in spiritual practice, you know, we call it a witness consciousness, right? Or the mentor. And that or the centered self. And that's what we're training to always be in or with, because that is the perspective that can take care of, in this case, all of you, and also be appropriate to the moment and sensitive to what is most compassionate for all.
I see. It's interesting, and I know I want to cut this off, and I'll play with this, but it seems like when I'm present, and this is probably not true, but I don't necessarily see those sub-personalities because I'm just here. Like I'm not, I don't know.
That's
thought there
right.
had to be more intentionality with kind of bringing them
well,
in.
Well, I would say more interested.
Okay.
Because it is a la the morning conversation. It's an inciting, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you open to it and become more interested in it, you'll see it more. You'll be more aware of it in other people. You'll see it more in yourself. We have so much pressure to be monolithic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being wishy-washy, you know, you don't know who you are. Could you, you know, just that kind of notion of what a person should be. And so to open in this way to all of these ways that we have not noticed even because of the pressure to be that one person, which we never have been.
Right.
And which is a huge, of course, source of self-hatred for most people because they're not consistent and they don't always show up the same way and they do get emotional and they do have opinions and they, you know.
Well, thank you. This is really helpful.
Good. I bet you'll ditch those other people on Tuesday nights more often now.
For sure.
All right. Thanks,
you,
Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Good night.
Go
We're happy.
Thanks for joining us, Christina. And another fascinating conversation, Sherry.
Yeah. I mean, we're so much more interesting than ego would like us to know we are.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to break now for a good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Hi.
Hi. And Jen, now live, okay. And I'll turn it over to you for a good news update.
All right, excellent. Thanks, Michael. And indeed, we are joined by Nancy, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with no reviews. Welcome, Nancy.
Thanks, Jen. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. And it's a great topic. Tell us about what you've been practicing with.
Yes, well, what I mean by no reviews is that when I hear the ego voices making judgments or criticisms of something I've done, mm-hmm. I choose not to listen to them. And it's essentially what Sherry was just talking about with the first caller.
Yeah,
I've been working with it for since the last email class. Because I received guidance about this, and it was just a tremendous gift, because all this negative reviewing of things I've done is such a huge cause of suffering for me, and it has been forever. Mm. And what I'd written into the guide about was that I would make a plan or a schedule for the day that included self-care. I could never seem to stick to it. Mm-hmm. And it was because I would hear voices that would say, well, that person's need is greater than yours, and you can do this one more thing or spend this extra hour helping. Mm-hmm. And afterward, I'd be so frustrated with myself because I couldn't seem to keep the boundaries mm-hmm. that I felt I needed for my own self-care. Mm-hmm. And I also felt like I wasn't able to listen to life in the moment.
Mm.
So the guidance was no beatings, not even any recriminations, regrets, or reviews. Mm. Not a word. The point of that, along with being kind, is that the voices of self-hate interfere with our ability to see what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
And being in the moment was what I was striving for, letting life lead me in every moment. And so I'm so grateful to see the connection of how the negative reviews not only cause just huge suffering, but keep me stuck in the same behaviors and not in the present moment.
I mean, unbelievably beautiful, right? Because if I'm following the way you're laying it out, Nancy, so the same thing kept happening over and over and over again, this process. And you were mm-hmm. super clear about what you wanted and what your intention was, but you kept getting talked out of it. And then after you get talked out of it, you'd be beaten for getting talked out
yes.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guidance was essentially interrupt that piece of it. And it sounds mm-hmm. like from what you're describing, and first of all, you really took the guidance to heart. I mean, that's a huge thing for all of us. Right there. And that was described in the last call, too, right? So
mm-hmm.
we pick up a practice tool. We pick up a piece of guidance. We practice with it earnestly. The payoff is tremendous, because in this case, it sounds like you really, really kept that commitment. No reviews, nothing. No recriminations, no conversation at all. Okay, so maybe you got talked out of everything you said you were going to do for self-care that day. You spent extra time with whoever you spent extra time with. No reviews. And without that self-hate afterwards, it sounds like you started to have clarity on what was happening in the moment. And being in the moment was the whole thing that you wanted to begin with.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And I had actually seen this years ago before I knew about this practice, because I'd had the experience of making a healthy plan of what I was going to eat during the day, because I was struggling with eating compulsively.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that if I couldn't exactly stick to my plan, the ego voices would criticize me mercilessly with things like, well, you have no willpower, no discipline, you're a failure. And it could have been just because I ate one bite more than what was in my plan. But at that time in my life, the voices felt true to me, and I believed them. Mm-hmm. And then when I did believe them, it caused me to just give up, and then I would just eat more.
I just could picture it as you were saying it, right? I just, as you're describing the voices, you just, I'm just reaching for the cookies, right? For the,
yes, exactly.
There it is.
I felt so bad about myself that I just did what, you know, what kept me in that place, and so I was stuck in the past. And I couldn't just be in the present moment. And with some help, I finally got it that if I could just stop listening to the self-hating voices, I didn't feel, and I experienced, and I didn't feel like doing self-destructive things. But I had to choose to do this over and over and over. And I realized that, I know that the compulsive eating was just one example of my belief that I wasn't good enough. And my conditioning is that I have to please others and do things for others to be loved. So because of that, every interaction with another person had to be perfect according to ego standards. But of course, ego standards are impossible. So I would constantly hear the voices of what I had done wrong. I mean, it could have been, oh, I raised eyebrow. Or, I mean, it could have been so minimal. But I was listening to those voices because I thought they would help me do better the next time. So this practice was a lifeline. First reading, there is nothing wrong with you. And then hearing that the healing begins when the beatings end, and celebrating No Self-Hate Day every day, and then that the inner critic has been surgically removed. This has all been just like life-changing and freedom for me.
I mean, what a tremendous commercial for just noticing. I mean, what you're laying out, the power of the clarity that comes from the willingness to let go of the self-hate and just be here and just notice, and all the insights that come from that. I mean, what you said a minute ago, once you saw that, you no longer wanted to do self-destructive behaviors. So instead of having to, you know, claw ourselves up through this willpower that doesn't even exist or work, right? It's never going to be sustainable. Instead, you plug into something that you actually do want. You know, you want to care for this human being. And so beginning to apply that same process all over the place. And the other really crucial thing and helpful thing you said was staying with it. Staying with it, right? Because if we've had a lifetime of these patterns, then it's going to take a few times of not listening to those reviews before we really start to get a hang of it. And so having that patience and the kindness and compassion with ourselves as we stay with it long enough to begin to have the kinds of insights that you're describing and see the transformation.
Yes, it's been such a gift. And just recently I had an experience that showed me the difference, showed me how it used to be versus what I gained from doing this. As I was asked to do a presentation with some other people about the nonprofit I'm involved in, and I was to give a history of how and why we got started since we're pretty unique. And, of course, I wanted to do a good job, you know, be interesting, not let the others down. So I wrote a script, and I tried to memorize it. And I also interviewed the parts of me who were very invested in doing it perfectly when the time came. But I asked life to be in charge. I really wanted life to lead in that moment. And so during the session, I was present and engaged with participants, which is what I'd hoped for. But after it was over, the reviews, the voices started immediately. They said I blew it because I hadn't stuck to the script. I left out my favorite quote and so on. And it was like, yes, those things happened. But I said, no, no reviews. I'm not listening to that voice that says I blew it. And I heard the mentor say, the way you said it was even better than the script. And your colleague had that quote in his PowerPoint point, so it didn't matter. I was actually able to hear the loving and reassuring voice of the mentor because I chose not to listen to the ego voices. And it felt so good.
Oh,
and I didn't
lose
sleep for the next three nights like I used to in the past.
Oh, my gosh. What a moment to get to really, truly experience that transformation. And that's so perfect the way you described it, Nancy, because that's, I mean, I project, when you said there was a huge backlash, I just felt, yeah, no wonder. Because of all that, not the preparation you did, but the practice that you did going into it, and all that transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the voice of self-hate had no choice but to come at you with everything it had, right?
Yeah.
To try to tear that away from you. And instead, it backfired because you just did the exact same process. You applied it and you saw even more, went even deeper with it. So, yeah, that's extraordinary.
Well, so it was wonderful. It made me so grateful for this practice. The last thing I want to say is that I know that the voices are going to continue to come. Probably as soon as I finish this conversation, they're going to
try to
stop.
You can bet on it. Yep.
I know they will. But I get to practice once again with no reviews. I'm not listening to these voices. They are not true. And probably again, if I listen to the recording, they're going to want to start again. But again, I get to say, no reviews. I'm not listening. They aren't true. My healing starts when the beatings stop, and I cannot possibly express how much happier I am as a result of this practice, and I am so very grateful.
Mm, wonderful. Me too, Nancy.
So
and I'm grateful that you were here to
me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share this, Jen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gratitude.
Thank you for being with us to talk about it. Yeah, much, much gratitude. All right.
Thanks,
Nancy.
Gesho.
Go happy. Gesho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Jen. And that was an amazing testimonial, Sherry.
Isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, it is such a battle, right? It is just, I mean, the way Nancy laid it out, absolutely perfect. The thing that, you know, that doesn't really come through except we all experience it is the moment by moment. No, I'm not listening to that. No, I'm not listening to that. It's just, it's really inspiring.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Fabulous.
Yeah.
And we have the caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Goli from Southern California.
Hey, Goli.
Hi, Sherry. I'm so happy to be on open air. I also have had another commitment on Tuesdays for a while, so I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm not really sure where to start, but to say that I am having a huge slump in my life. And I don't know, just listening to the other callers, I think I should be doing a lot more practice. But, you know, I'm at a point where I just don't really know what I'm doing here. Like, what is the point other than you get up and you brush your teeth and you go through the day? You mean in this moment,
okay.
Life? Yes.
Okay. This is the swamp. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got it. Okay. So we might even go so far as to call this a little depression.
Yes. We could call it that for sure. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm guessing the two things that you said make me guess this. One, because you have been practicing a lot more than you have for a very long time, right? You didn't practice for a long time and then came back to practice and you've just been practicing like crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
True?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, you've been around long enough to know ego is not going to be happy about that. You know, your life is getting better, you're feeling good, you're enjoying things, right? You see possibilities. Is it true?
Well,
remember that?
Yes, I do remember that happened, yes.
Yes, yes. And then along comes the negativity, right? And was it a slow slide? Did something happen? How did we go from, I'm really enjoying practice, I'm seeing all these possibilities, things are opening up for me, to this slump? Do you know how you got there?
Yeah, I would say a lot of things happened. You know, I'm having to take care of an elderly father, and I have a lot of anger about that. There's a war.
You're taking care of your, whoa, you're taking care of your what father?
My father, he's very old. He's over 90, and I was abandoned as a child, and so I have a lot of anger about having to take care of him when he didn't take care of me. And
okay, now, wait, but let's just stop. Let's just stop right there. Why do you have to take care of him?
Well, my stepmom died about 8 months ago, and my whole stepfamily thought he should live with me. At least I put the boundary that, no, he can't live with me. But now he lives in a senior apartment very close to me. My other siblings are not very, you know, close by geographically. And so I've also tried to limit, like, how many days a week I go there. But I feel like anything I do is way above what I should do. But he thinks anything I do is, of course, you should be doing it. And I just have such a lot of anger about having to...
Okay. Yes. I don't think I have to ask you about any other thing that has happened in your life. I think we've stumbled upon it right here, don't you?
It's a big one.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You are absolutely, as we say in Zen, pissed. Yeah?
Yes, thank you. That's the word.
Furious. Furious. Furious.
I am livid.
A lifetime of anger, right,
yes.
About the way these people treated you. And now at this point in your life, this guy comes around and not only expects you to be there for him, doesn't sound particularly grateful that you are.
Completely ungrateful. Yeah.
He is grateful?
No, he's completely ungrateful.
Yeah. 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 So first he abandons you and then he mistreats you.
Right. Right.
Gosh, I don't understand why you're so upset, Goalie. It just sounds like a family dream come true.
Right. Right.
Yeah. 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 And so you're unhappy.
Yes.
Why is life worth living? What is the point? Are you able to live your life the way you want, go where you want, do what you want? No. You have to be there to take care of somebody you don't know and don't like and have a deep resentment of.
Right.
Why do you do it?
It's because I think I have to, you know. And like in
Why?
My culture,
Why?
What I'm doing, not having him live with me, I am like a heretic. My whole step
That's right.
family
that,
has
that,
completely
that,
turned their back on me.
They finished turning their backs on you, right? It's not like you were close in the first place. It's not
right.
like you had a close and loving family in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so so they disapprove of you. A bunch of people that you don't like and don't respect disapprove of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you are not behaving in a way. Now, none of them want him to live with them, right?
No.
That,
nobody
no,
wants him.
Of course not. No, nobody wants him. And so you're the one. And so you're going to give up your life to please a bunch of people that you don't even like.
All right. So at least I haven't done that. That's progress. And I'm sure practice has helped me with that. That I said, no, he's not living with me.
That's right. Yes. Let's not lose sight of the fact that is tremendous. However, he's still running your show.
He is running my life. He's been
yeah.
running it for my
and
whole
so,
life.
That's right. And so you're unhappy, which, again,
yeah.
I don't have a difficult time understanding. And so here's between now and the next time we talk, okay, which I hope will be very soon, you can contact the guest master and make sure that it's very soon. Okay, here's your assignment. I want you to look at what you want for you and your life. Now, if that includes trying to please people you don't like and don't respect, that's fine. I'm good with that. A lot of people will make choices simply because to make any other choice would be worse than the choice they're making. Okay? So it's one of those, I would feel so guilty doing what I actually want to do that I'm not going to do it because I couldn't stand the guilt. Now, I always encourage people, well, just face the guilt. But anyway, that's a, So look to see what you want for your life, and then look to see, if you would, what is stopping you from choosing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm.
And so using all the techniques, you know, make a process map, interview, do the two-handed recording, you know, whatever it takes to hear from everybody inside about what's going on with them. Because you giving up your life at this point without a deep dive into what else is possible, I think would be extremely regrettable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You with me?
I am.
You understand the assignment now.
I wrote it down. What do you want for your life, and what is stopping you from getting that? And what else is possible?
That's exactly it. And so is that an assignment that you will take on? Can take
yes.
on? Want to take on?
Yes, I
yeah?
thank you for the assignment. Yes.
Good, because slumps are not necessary, and we're not going to live in them. They're not fun. And we are fun people. Okay?
Yes. Yes, I will stay
close. Is there more?
Say
it again?
No, I said I will stay close, and I think this is actually a great opportunity because one of my favorite quotes from you is the way we do anything is the way we do everything. And so I'm seeing that so much in everywhere in my life. And so it's not just this one thing. This is a big one, but it I see it everywhere.
Yeah, it's the big one that is shining the light on all of these other ones and how they have been in control of your life. So in that way, you know, we could get to he's probably a pretty big gift. Yeah?
certainly thinks he is.
He'd agree with that.
Yes, he would.
All right. Well,
he's a good teacher.
Yeah, a bodhisattva, as they say, right? The one that's going to drive you to recognize, to realize your inherent enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. All right. Thank you, Goli. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you, Sherry. Yes. Thank
All
you.
Right. Good night.
Good night.
Good show.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Goli. And wow, Sherry, that was fabulous.
I love practice, and I know you do, too.
Yes, I do. And I'm very grateful for everyone joining us tonight, and you, and all of our listeners. And go happy.
Let's do this again in a week or so.
I look forward to it.
All right, me too. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Good night.
Good night.